Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, here with Reagan Moore, a young entrepreneur that has taken a unique path. Excited to hear from her insights and how she has gotten to the level of entrepreneurship that she's achieved through her ability to communicate. Reagan, great
Chad,
to be
so
with
good
you today.
To be with you this morning. I'm excited to be here.
Well, and what's interesting is I will also note is Reagan is my oldest of 9 children. And so she's had to communicate in a lot of different ways throughout her life. But as we jump in today, Reagan, and so proud of the success that you've been able to achieve, let me just give some context here. When you graduated from high school, rather than go to college, you decided to go be a nanny, and you know that caused you to grow up pretty quickly. You were a nanny for a young infant in Florida, and we were living in Arizona at the time. And then Reagan, then you chose to serve a mission for our church. And then when you came home, and this is something that I really want to touch on here. When you came home, you had quite a bit saved from your nanny experience and quite a bit experience from your mission experience. And you opted rather than to go to college, because that's what, you know, both your mom and I thought that, okay, this is Reagan's going to come home and go to college. You opted to go to more of a trade school and learn how to do nails. Walk us through that process a little bit. What drove you to choose the path of entrepreneurship over the traditional college?
That's an excellent question. I grew up wanting to go to college my whole life, not because I knew what I wanted to do, but because I always liked to learn. I always liked to challenge myself. Like, that was something that was really fun for me. So I always thought I would go to college. And I actually was almost enrolled in 3 different colleges. And each time, right before I had to pay, I'd back out. Like, it never felt right. And I've always been someone that's kind of gone with my gut.
I don't think I knew that. That's interesting.
So I was almost enrolled in UVU, Chandler Gilbert Community College, and Brigham Young University in Idaho. And each time I backed out because I was just like, this isn't right. And I didn't know why it wasn't right. And it was almost kind of frustrating because I was like, yeah, I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to continue to do that. How do I do that if I'm not going to college? Right? We're born into this world and told that we need to go to school and that's how you learn. And then you go to college and that's how you continue to learn. And for some people that is, you know, that's a very good path. But for me, it never felt right. And so I got married in 2020, the beginning of 2020, and I was a dental assistant. And after a few months, you know, COVID came and I got let go from being a dental assistant. And that kind of got me to rediscover a hobby that I had as a child, which was nails, right? And I love doing nails. And so I ordered a bunch of cheap stuff on Amazon, started doing nails for fun, and realized, okay, this is awesome. Like, maybe I could actually start doing this. So I found people on Instagram that were doing it and thought, okay, they're doing it and they're making it work. Why can't I do that? And so we got to August of 2020, and I decided to tour a couple different schools, decided it was the path I wanted to go down, and I was going to make it work for me and my family, and that I was going to take nails and I was going to do it from home. And right then I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do. I didn't want to work for a salon. I wanted to do my own thing. And I knew that my husband wanted to go to school and I was going to support him as he did that. And I didn't want him to have to work and worry about that. So I was just going to make it work no matter what. It kind of felt like I didn't have an option.
Well, and I absolutely love that. And one of the things you said there that I hope everyone heard very clearly was you said, well, other people are doing this. Why can't I? And so often when it comes to entrepreneurship, so often when it comes to business, we talk ourselves out of things and we think to ourselves, oh no, I can't do that. I can't dream that big. I can't have that level of success. But the reality is you looked at it and you said, why can't I? So as you then grew your home-based business, because as you said, your husband was going to college and you had were starting to have some children, and you really started to want to branch out even more than just doing your business. You were thinking to yourself, okay, how do I begin to teach this business that I've created here? So tell me, walk me through what took you from saying, okay, I'm going to run this business, to now I want to go teach this business.
Yeah. So I was a nail tech, home-based nail tech, independent nail tech for almost 2 years. And then I had my first kid, Cutler, right in November of 2022. And I knew I needed to work. I knew I needed to continue to make money because, like I said before, my husband wasn't working. He was doing school full time. And 3 weeks after I had my baby, I decided to get back to work. And I started working. And it just became, it was this whole spiral effect where I was working very hard, doing what I did before I had Cutler. But now I have my baby as well, right? So that's also emotionally demanding on a first-time mom. And so I quickly realized, wow, this isn't sustainable. Like, I need to figure this out. I have to make money. And Travis, my husband, would have gone to work if he needed to, but that was my goal. I was like, okay, I don't want him to have to do that. And so we worked together to try to figure out what to do next. And you actually were like, hey, why don't you start selling online courses? And my first thought immediately was like, no, I'm not good enough to do that. I can't teach anybody to do that. Right? I'm not. There's so many people that are better than me. And so I started looking into it, and you kept bringing it up. And finally, in February, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And so I actually met with a mentor. Her name was Lindsay Ardmore, and she helped me. She said, okay, this is what you need to do just to get yourself going, just to start, right? Just create a course, get out there, find your people, and sell it. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And so I just did it. I think we got the courses up within the matter of like 2 weeks. I interviewed a couple nail techs, said, hey, what do you want to see in this course? They told me what they wanted to see. I created the course, and it was actually a course on how to do nails, right? So it was all about the application, about the cuticle work, about the, right? Like all of those things when it came to the, like that process. And I sold, I think maybe five at like a $97 price point. So it wasn't exactly, I wasn't screaming, right? But I felt good. It was enough to keep me motivated. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep going down this route because I see that it works. And I was excited about it. And so then I slowly, as I continued down this path, I was like, you know what? I'm not actually that passionate about teaching people how to do nails though. Like, I want to do something in the online space, and I love being a nail tech, and I love working with nail techs and other women. But how can I pivot that? So after lots of thought and research and different things, I decided I wanted to dive more into the business side of things. I was like, you know what? I'm really, really good at building a clientele, at building a nail business. And I've scaled that to sustainable income months, right? But right before I had Cutler, that's exactly what I was doing. So why not teach people who were in my same position previously, like that I was in previously, how to get to that point where they're making a consistent income off of nails, right? Just like I had thought that I wanted to do it at some point. And that's the thing. I feel like as an entrepreneur, you're constantly growing, you're constantly evolving, but I can't teach something I don't know. And I felt like that was something that I knew very, very well. And I considered myself an expert. And I was like, I could go to anybody's salon and I can teach them how to build their clientele, how to become fully booked, and how to become financially stable in that sense. And I've helped nail techs do that for the last year. A little over a year, I've been doing that, and it's been awesome. I love that.
Oh, that's fantastic. There are two things you really pointed out there that I really think are important for people to know. The one thing is, and TK talks about this all the time, is you sought out a mentor, and you talk about Lindsay, someone who was in the space that had done it before. You know, it's crazy to me how often TK talks to me about how when he finds or growing a new business, he'll seek out people that are experts in that specific field, and they will reach out to them and just ask for their guidance and ask for their direction. You know, when I was head of sales and business development at a large software company, I had I had the top salesperson. Okay, it was a man by the name of Rob Haggerty. He was phenomenal and very gifted. And he wasn't just the top salesperson. He was significantly higher than everybody else. One of the just phenomenal sales individual, one of the best out there. And I one day asked him, I said, Rob, how often do people come to you to ask you what you're doing? And Rob says, you know what, Chad? Everyone says they are going to, but nobody does. But nobody does. And I find that interesting as you're sitting here and you're watching Rob have success, you're going, okay, why don't I seek out that mentor? John Wooden, the great basketball coach, remarked that I believe one coach ever reached out to him to meet with him to see what he was doing. And so one, I commend you for seeking out that mentor, but two, for those listening, who is a mentor you could seek out and go, okay, I'm going to learn from them. So that's certainly one thing you pointed out. The other thing that you pointed out, and I want you also to elaborate a little bit on that, is you didn't have the passion for teaching nail techs. And so you identified that my passion here is not high and it's not going to propel me to the success that I need. So then you went into the online business. And one of the things that's so critical and why you've been so successful is because if you would have stayed in that teaching nail tech space, no one would have, they would have felt that you had a lack of passion there. And so did you recognize quite quickly that you did have passion for the business teaching
side? I did, because I felt like I needed to pivot. It was time to pivot my business. And so I needed to figure out what was missing. It was more of like, okay, like something's got to change. So let's figure out what it is that needs to change. I was listening to a podcast just the other day where this individual was saying that if you're complacent, if you're sitting there and you're just like going crazy, you're like, okay, I just don't love where I'm at. I just, you know, and you're just sitting there with it. Something needs to change. Otherwise, money moves with speed, right? You're not going to continue to make that money. You're not going to continue to grow in that industry or what it is that you're doing. If you're sitting there and just thinking, man, my life sucks. Like, how did I get here? How did I, you know, I don't love what I do, but I guess it's just what I do. I feel like so many times we build a business or we get to a certain place where we're like, oh, wow, I've built this reputation. I've built this. And so there's no way to get out of it. You kind of put yourself in a box and you're like, okay, I'm in this box and I can't get out. Otherwise, I might lose clients. Otherwise, I might not make the same. I might not have the consistent income that I currently have. You know, so breaking out of that box and being able to be like, okay, what needs to change? And then figuring out, doing what it is that you need to do to figure that out. I mean, you've taught me that you need to get clear on what it is that you want. Because if you don't know what you want, then where are you going? Like, you're just shooting in the dark, right? You're not actually going for anything. And I think too, I was listening to a podcast, one of yours and TK's podcast, about TK being vulnerable as a beginning restoration tech, you know, starting his own business and talking to different insurance groups and saying, hey, like asking all the questions. Hey, I'm not afraid to look stupid. I'm not afraid to look like who cares what other people are thinking, right? If you're not willing to grow and evolve and to change, then you're holding yourself back. I mean, it doesn't really matter what other people think because you're not going to go anywhere if that's the case.
Right. Isn't that crazy how much we care what other people think? You know what? Complacency is the enemy to success. You sit back and you're, oh, I'm complacent. I'm okay. Rather than saying, no, I'm not okay. I need to go and make things happen. TK says all the time, the best way to predict your future is to go create it. And so go create what it is that you want and don't live in that area of complacency. It's such a trap. So you've told us, and you brought up vulnerability here, and TK's been vulnerable and has shared some insights as to how he's been successful. Let me ask you this. When it comes to vulnerability here, what are a couple of mistakes that you have made over the course of building your business that you thought, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have made that mistake.
I think I've made a lot of mistakes that, like a lot of little mistakes, you know, that kind of build up. One big one is my lack of confidence when it came to sales. I think the biggest thing that I did consistently for a very, very long time was I would not offer anything to anybody, right? I was so afraid. I was good at selling to many. So if I had to hop on Instagram and sell on my stories, that was great. That was easy for me because that's what I was comfortable with. If I had to hop on, make a reel, hey, buy this, do this, this is going to change your life for this reason, that was so easy. But as soon as I hopped on a one-on-one call with someone, or I was talking to someone just in an everyday conversation, I would never offer anything because I was scared to death. I was like, oh yeah, I mean, if you want, I've got like this thing, and if, you know, if not, it's cool. Like, don't worry about it. No pressure. You know, that was almost exactly what I would say. And a couple podcast episodes ago, you and TK say people don't buy weird, right? And that's exactly what I was doing. I was making it weird for people. And that was a big mistake that I wish so bad I wouldn't have done so early on, because I do believe strongly that I would have made a lot more sales early on. And not only that, not only sales, I would have been able to serve more people, like just help more people. Because I do believe that what I have to offer will help people, will help women, will help entrepreneurs change their mindset and grow a very successful business, especially in the online space. And so the fact that I doubted that, and the fact that I was so nervous to come off as salesy and to come off as some kind of sales bro that I just shut my mouth and didn't say anything, kills me. I wish, you know, I'm so good at being friends with people. Why not give them the next step to growing their success, right? That's serving them. But I was so caught up in my head and thinking, oh, it's all for me. Whereas if I would have been focused on them, like, no, how can this help them? How can this benefit them? And truly just focused on that aspect of it, I really believe that more people would have hopped in at the very beginning and been like, oh my goodness, like seeing that success that much quicker. You know, so that's one big mistake and one way that, one thing that I've changed in my business in the way I operate.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Really being willing to ask for that business. That's, you know what, Dave Ramsey told me that when people need what you have, they'll give you certificates of appreciation with the president's faces on it, right? Because they want to give you that certificate of appreciation because the value you're providing, and for some reason, our insecurities at times prevent us from asking for that sale to get us to where we need to be. Okay, share with us one more
mistake. I think these are easy to come up with. We could go all day on mistakes, but I think one big mistake too is I compared myself to other people. I think as entrepreneurs in general, it's a very easy trap to fall into, but especially for women in that space, you are constantly comparing yourself to the person next door, constantly. And so, especially in the beauty industry, you see other nail techs who look like they're crushing it, and other people in the online space who look like they're crushing it, and you're just like, I could never do that. Their work is at another level. Their work is so much better than my work, right? So sitting there and comparing myself to these people I didn't even know. I had a very superficial relationship online, if that, and just sitting there and thinking, okay, I could never do what they do because I'm just not good enough. That's one big mistake and big trap that I saw myself repeatedly falling into. And I still have to catch myself now saying, okay, no, let's take a step back. Let's take a break from social media and let's focus on what it is that you're doing and where it is that you're going, because that's the most important thing, is how you are serving your clients. It doesn't matter what the person next door is doing. That has no relevance to you or your life whatsoever, right? You can learn from them, but you definitely don't need to copy them, and you definitely don't need to compare yourself to them. That's where you lose your sense of identity. And if you're trying to build a personal brand and a business, it's not going to work. It's just not. And you're going to either find that out now, or you're going to find that out down the road when you're ready to explode because you've been comparing yourself for so long.
So true. So true. Dan Sullivan often talks about the gap and the gain. And too often we focus on the gap rather than the gain of where we have come and what we've been able to accomplish. And being able to accomplish those things, we need to step back and really celebrate our success and focus on the things that we have done and can do rather than that comparison trap that is, it is a trap and can really prevent you from growing and succeeding at the level you know you can. And so, Reagan, phenomenal insights that you've shared with us. And it's clear, it's easy to see why you've been so successful, because a lot of it comes down to your mindset, but also your ability to communicate. And that's powerful. So as you continue on this entrepreneurial path, and of course, I'm very, very excited and so proud of the path that you've taken and the success that you've been able to have. If there's one thing that you want people to remember and say, okay, that's important to remember from you, Reagan, what would it be? And by the way, I love hearing an occasional baby in the background, because it just proves that you have the ability to run, be an entrepreneur, and yet still juggle motherhood and all the else, other things that you're doing. But with that being said, as we finish today, what is one thing you want people to really remember?
That's heavy, because there's a lot. There's a lot of things that, you know, that you wish that you could just teach people and help people learn right here, right now, because it would just help them avoid a lot of the mistakes and things that you've made along the way. But overall, I think the number one thing, I like that you brought up that there's a baby crying in the background, because I was sitting here sweating like, oh, great. I can hear the baby, right? That's another thing, because you want everything to look perfect. And I think letting go of that perfectionism is the biggest thing. Perfectionism is the enemy to profitability. That's what Mark Cuban says. And I really believe that that's true. If you're willing to let go of that perfectionism and that idea of things need to be perfect in order to start, in order to scale, then I think you're going to, that's so big, because that's letting go of such a mindset block that is preventing you from getting to that next level. And taking on those, you know, learning it's not perfect and taking on your failures as being like, okay, this is an opportunity for me to learn and grow. How can I learn from this setback? How can I learn from this failure? How can I learn from my mistakes? Rather than sitting there and letting yourself just think about them over and over and over again, and, you know, letting it eat you up inside. That'll get you so much farther, because you'll be learning constantly. That's better than any college you could ever go to, is taking your own life experiences, letting go of that perfectionism and saying, okay, what is it that I learned here? And how can I apply these lessons moving forward? And then just being able to not compare yourself to the people around you and go for it is like, it's kind of a lot all in one. But if you're able to do that, I feel like you can take on the whole world. Like, you can do literally whatever it is you want to do, because nobody's going to stop you at that point.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Phenomenal. Great insights, Reagan. Great being with you. Of course, love you to death. So proud of you. Have a tremendous day, everyone listening and applying what Reagan Moore has taught here. Thanks for being with us, Reagan.
Thanks for having me.